Allie.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
So happy to be here today. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know why I say it in that voice, like the fake DJ.
Your radio voice?
Welcome to, because we're talking to all radio people. The person we're talking to today has a genuine voice and is very genuine and actually has a great bass voice. He's got some gravitas to his voice. We're going to talk with Mookie from 88.5 FM. We're talking about the songs that K-Rock played back in 1984.
We're going to be talking about number 50 to 41 on the K-Rock 1984 year-end chart.
Yeah. Mookie was too young to listen to music way back in the early 80s. He's a young dude. So it's good to get his take on these songs, kind of hearing what he thinks about these artists that we're going to talk about. As always, it's a wide variety of music.
Like to disclose that 88.5 is our own college radio station at California State University, Northridge.
Indeed. Both Holly and I.
Are you trying to keep that a secret from our listeners?
Both Holly and I are Matadors. We graduated from Cal State Northridge.
So let's welcome Mookie.
Great idea. So let's get into it with Mark Mookie Kasor. There he is.
Hi.
All right. Looking good.
Thank you very much. So, Holly, I don't think we've ever met before.
We have not met.
No. Are you a broadcast industry professional or music snob or all of the above?
You can call me a broadcast music professional, not a music lover, but Dave can take the snob name. I'm not a snob.
Thank you.
But music, yes.
She worked at Westwood One for a long time.
Westwood One, yeah. Oh, after cool. CSUN, after graduating from CSUN.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I went to Westwood One and then some Spanish language networks and then worked for a company that produced TV commercials for radio stations.
Oh, right on.
Holly is fluent in Spanish, just in case. You
need oh, to nice. Espanol. Well, I'm not prepared for that today.
Oh, you didn't know? That was our little twist to our... Good thing it wasn't April Fool's Day because we would have done it all in Spanish.
Yeah. I thought we were doing English today.
We are mostly English. You never know. Sometimes gibberish comes out. So, Casey, how long have you been I said KCSN. I guess it's 88.5.
Right. It's been, 5 years programming the station for, I think, two all of a sudden. Yeah, Sky Daniels brought me in. I was music director under him for 3 years, and then things kind of blew up and got weird, and then I became program director under some interesting circumstances. But now the future is bright for our little station, and I feel like we're doing the right things, and it's a much more modern-leaning AAA station, you know, than ever before, with more forward momentum is what I've been telling people. Yeah. And I just love what we're doing. It ain't easy, you know, with behemoths in the market, with these heritage brands and stuff, and also we have, like, not a lot of wattage. But, you know, under the circumstances, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be on the non-com side right now.
Did you come from commercial?
In San Diego mainly at 91X. And I saw the station change hands in ownership two times. Worked for a bunch of PDs at 91X. And then the short-lived Radio Sophie, which was like a hot AC station, CBS at the time. And then FM 94.9 KBZT, which is now Alt 94.9, just as like a weekender and fill-in DJ. Yeah. And then Laguna Beach, and now this, back in my hometown of Northridge.
Where are you in Northridge?
I am living 100 miles away right now, actually. I'm living in Carlsbad still.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice, actually. So you'd have to take me away from here kicking and screaming, you know, and the stuff that we're doing right now, as far as, you know, not commuting into work and doing everything virtually, I think we're going to move to some sort of hybrid scenario. Maybe we're in the office just a couple of days a week, or if there's a band coming in to mic up and record, then we'll do that. But I'm hoping to work from home mainly after this whole COVID-19 thing, you know, is gone.
Yeah, we talked with Russ Boris a few weeks back. He hadn't been to the station at all in over a year, and, you know, still kind of running things, but it's possible. It's crazy to think about, but this is the new frontier, I guess.
Pretty amazing what you can make work.
Yeah, it took us just a few weeks to figure it out, but to get all our DJs equipped with a laptop and a little mixing board and a microphone, it was relatively cheap. And our engineer Mike is amazing, so we're up and running. You know, haven't missed a beat. And we thought that it would be a good opportunity to sit back and, you know, as they say, look at the station from 30,000 feet. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't been the case with these pop-up pledge drives and artist interviews on Zoom all the time and continuing to do our shows and trying to figure out, you know, promotions and things. It's been a lot of work, you know.
Do you like those, you know, the artists at home? I mean, it's kind of fun. It's kind of a novelty. But do you miss, like, having them in studio and kind of able to give that face-to-face and interaction?
I do like the live music, you know, there's nothing like it. And I would bring my daughter up to the station a little bit, like, you know, to just to be around live music and the equipment and the musicians and everything. But I mean, I really like these virtual sessions that we're doing. Yeah, it's quite easy. You can wear sweatpants. Nobody knows, you know. It's, yeah. And we've done like 70 plus artist interviews since the pandemic started. And it's remarkable when you go to our website and you scroll down through the here at home interviews. It's like you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling forever. It's really cool. Really proud of that stuff. And obviously it's easier to do an artist interview via Zoom rather than route them to the radio station with all the gear, you know, when they're in town playing a gig.
Have you found any bands tried to be creative with their setup, or what's the band that surprised you with what you saw in the background, or what's going
like
on?
Like virtually?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some of the interviews have been good. Like as far as just interviews only, Matt Costa was just on his front porch in Laguna Beach. Bear Reinhardt from the band Need to Breathe was in his home recording studio, which was like this immaculate, like gorgeous room, like somewhere in like North Carolina or something like that. The most unique one was Charlie Crockett, kind of a new school country artist. And he was on his iPhone and he pops into the Zoom room and he's standing in the middle of nowhere, like the desert. And I'm like, dude, you know, after a couple of questions, I'm like, where are you? He's like, oh, mentally or like physically? I'm like, physically, where are you right now? You know, he's like, oh, I'm in the middle of the desert in New Mexico waiting for this freight train to come through because I'm shooting. You see that? He's like, you see that guy way over there? He's got a camera and we're shooting my next music video out here. So in true cowboy fashion, Charlie Crockett was just standing in the middle of the desert, you know, with a cowboy hat on, doing a Zoom interview. It was amazing.
That's fun. Yeah. I mean, that adds a little uniqueness to everything that you put out now. Something exciting.
We gotta feel like we need to repurpose some of that stuff, you know.
Right.
It just pops up online, you know, sometimes we just forget about it, that it exists.
But speaking of repurposing, I got my first vinyl record of 88.5 with some of those studio sessions. And that's kind of cool. That's the first time I've ever. Usually, you know, you get these CDs and, you know, from radio stations of in-studio performances. This was the first time I'd ever seen a record album. I thought that was kind of cool that you would do something like that.
I still don't have mine, and I'm glad you got it, and it's not warped. You know, with anything that we do for the first time, there's some things to work out, and we found out that we couldn't get the record into people's hands for holiday time, so there was a delay. But for Studio Sessions Volume 2, we're already working on that, so everyone should get it, you know, when they order it, and sometime in December, I guess. This one's going to be mainly, again, sessions that we've recorded in studio, but also sessions we've recorded at various venues around town. So like the band Serotones at No Vacancy in Hollywood, Sharon Van Etten at Amoeba, Craig Finn from The Hold Steady at No Vacancy, and we're working on some others as well, just trying to get clearance from the labels, I guess. But that's coming together nicely.
First of the hard-hitting questions, yes. I've known you for a few years now. For the life of me, I have no idea how to say your last name.
Oh, it's Kazor, K-A-C-Z-O-R. Yeah, so it's Polish. Okay. In Polish, I think it's Kaczor, which literally translates to duck, like the animal, but it's Kazor. So I guess you could say the C is silent to pronounce it.
Okay.
I win.
All right, yes, yeah, you do.
You got it.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Mookie Duck. Very good. Yeah. Okay, and of course, Mookie, I'm sure, came from a sibling or a family member. Where did Mookie come from?
It came from Mojo Nixon. I don't know if you know Mojo.
Yes.
Right. He's got, I mean, he's a talented, I guess, comedian and musician. And when I was an intern in San Diego, in the Clear Channel building, there was 11 stations in one building at the time, before the FCC, you know, had all these laws about, you know, that you can only have 8 in one market or something. So one of those stations was 101.5 KGB Classic Rock, mm-hmm. and Mojo Nixon was the afternoon DJ. And my internship was helping out the traffic reporters. So I would call Mojo's studio every afternoon and say, hey, what time do you want to do traffic? You know, Cal Walker, who's flying around, you know, is standing by for you. And there was another guy named Mark Sanchez in the traffic department. So he never knew which market was. And he told me, you need a nickname, dude. You need a nickname. And I was like, oh, you know, that's great. So one day Mojo, because we all shared a building, Mojo comes into the studio with all the traffic reporters, and they're all lining the room with the headphones and the microphones coming out of the headphones, you know, and there was only one guy who flew around giving traffic reports. So Mojo walks in like a NASCAR shirt and cut off jean shorts. And he's like, I got a nickname for you. And he points at me and he's like, you're Mookie. And I'm going to call you that. And I'm going to tell everyone to call you that. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I call him that afternoon. Hey, Cal, what time do you want to do traffic? Or hey, Mojo, Cal Walker's standing by. And he's like, is this Mookie? And I'm like, yes, it is. So ever since then, of course, coming from Mojo, it's cool. And I wore it as a badge of honor right off the bat. Like, oh, my God, I'm a real radio guy now because I have my own nickname, you know. And then I got on the air at 91X and it was Mookie, you know. So it worked. People confuse me with Muckley all the time.
Oh, yeah, Chris Muckley.
They confuse me with another guy, Matt Stone. I think they also confuse me with Matt Bates, Matt Diablo, who used to work at 91X as well. But whatever.
So in, not just a good nickname, but who else can say they've been nicknamed by Mojo Nixon?
Yeah, amazing, right? I know it is pretty cool. I have not talked to him in forever. I think he's doing Outlaw Country now on satellite radio. I should drop him a line.
Yeah, our friend of the show, Craig Rosen, wrote the liner notes for Mojo's. He recently put out a box set of like all his albums. Still incredible. Putting stuff up. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's so, a great story.
Yeah. It's like a tattoo. You should have a good, if you're going to have a nickname, you better, or a tattoo, have a good story behind it. So all right. So that makes me happy that you've got like a good story behind it. although you do say Mark, Mookie, if you have to, once you reach a certain age, do you think you've outgrown the nickname Mookie, and you prefer Mark now? What should we call you?
Well, this is the second station where one of my bosses had said, you know, I don't know if I want a Mookie on the radio because it's like a smarter, sophisticated station. It's not alternative or anything like that, you know. But I've been Mookie for so long, and you know, the industry knows me as that, and I've been a jock with the name Mookie forever. So I just can't let it go. So that's why on the air I'd be like, hey, it's Mark or Mookie if you prefer or whatever. Lately, I've just been owning the Mookie name on 88.5 FM, and I'm just going to do it and do that forever.
Good for you. I mean,
you can't judge a man by his name. You can't. You know.
Wolfman Jack never changed his name, right?
You know, my parents, you know, Mark Kazor isn't exactly like a great DJ name. Or, hey, it's Mark, and here's the very latest from Krongbin featuring Leon Bridges. That would sound weird. You know, we got guys like Jim Nelson. That's a great radio name. Or, I mean, Nick Harcourt. That sounds great on the air, you know. I'm reluctant to change it at this point.
I wouldn't judge a Mookie.
No. Who's your second favorite Mookie, by the way?
Oh.
Oh, are you kidding me right now?
No question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, at the time, you know, Mookie Wilson, I think by the time you got your nickname, Mookie Wilson was big. Mookie Blaylock, you might be a Pearl Jam fan. Maybe Mookie Blaylock was is a guy for you.
Yeah. Well, the number one Mookie these days is my namesake and the guy who wears the same hat I'm wearing right now, Mookie Betts.
Another fun fact I learned, Joey Santiago, the guitarist for the Pixies, has a cat. His name is Mookie.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
They were find that out.
I found out there was an article in Spin Magazine last week on Major League Baseball and everyone's favorite player. And Joey had his LA Dodger cap on and he was holding Mookie. He's like, Mookie and I, we both, we're Dodger fans. They're going all the way this year.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
He Googled other famous Mookies.
Yeah. I just happened to see it on Twitter. It just popped up.
The subscription to Cat Fancy magazine.
Well, we keep that on the down low.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get started, shall we? It's kind of cool, though. I mean, we've talked to some people who obviously when they teenagers during the 80s and they remember this music fondly. And then we've talked to a few other people who they were like 5 and younger. And so they're going off what it means to them now, or, you know, maybe some other memory or some sibling had introduced them to this music. So, you know, that's all we're looking for is just kind of your take on the music now.
Sure. We've spoken to people outside the U.S. who didn't know a couple of the local bands, so they just listened and talked.
And they've all been amazed by the breadth of music that was played in 84. It kind of goes mm-hmm. all over the place, much as 88.5 FM does now.
It totally does. 88.5 FM. 88.5FM.org for people outside of the listening area.
Oh, you can get.
We have a great app as well. 88.5 FM SoCal is, you know, you got to plug the stuff.
Okay, so we are going to talk about the songs that were played on KROQ back in the day, 1984. This is based on their 106.7 year end chart. And we're going to look at songs 50 to 41 this week.
Wait, after this series, do you go to 1985 or are you just going to end it there and move on to a new sort of thing?
we're going all the way, baby.
We may even go to the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. You can't stop. Nice.
Number 50. this artist named Prince that was played on KROQ, and the song is Purple Rain. It's the titular song.
You just like saying that.
I do.
Yeah.
But all right. So Purple Rain, what are your memories? Someone who obviously didn't see it in theaters when it first came out. What was your first exposure to Prince?
Well, that's crazy to think that K-Rock actually played Prince back in the day. First of all, you know, my first exposure, I can't even remember, my man, with Prince and a lot of these artists that we're going to talk about, radio actually turned me on to these artists, you know, mainly. And, Prince has so many great songs that, I got my Bluetooth speaker, and once my daughter was born, we had the nursery, I guess, next door to this room. I'd play Prince and I'd be dancing with her and swinging her around to like Let's Go Crazy and stuff like that. I do have a crazy Prince story unrelated to Purple Rain.
As I mentioned in the cheat sheet, everyone has a crazy Prince story. So very good.
You're absolutely right, man. So my wife is telling the story and I wasn't around, you know, this is pre me. But I guess Prince had like a residency in Vegas at one point, right? Forgot what hotel it was or whatever. So my wife and a bunch of friends, they drove out to see Prince in Vegas and they got great seats, I guess, right in front. His whole thing, I think at the time, was making it really affordable, you know? So it wasn't too expensive to sit right in the front for those Prince shows, the residency. So they get there and they get there early and there is an opening act. And I forget what she said the opening act was, you know, probably not too memorable, but everyone's dancing and having fun and drinking. And there's this one person she was telling me who is dressed from head to toe in like, I guess you call it a burqa, you know, where you can't see the face. Mm-hmm. There's a whole head covering and a full on getup. Mm-hmm. And this person is just dancing up a storm, like right in the front row to the opening act, a diminutive person, a petite person, right? So everyone starts chattering around like, I think that's Prince, you know, just going wild, you know, right in the front row. So everyone's dancing. And after a few songs of the opening act, my wife, she goes up to this person and says, hey, what's your favorite Prince song? And the person says, Raspberry Beret. So I think he actually had a deeper voice than that. You know, he would actually speak like this. Yeah. Although when he was singing, he would like get up there. So it could have been Prince enjoying the opening act, but he was dancing up there and going crazy, whoever this person was. And then when Prince hit the stage, this person disappeared.
Yeah.
So it could have been.
I'm going with yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going with yes.
Of course. Yes.
I think that's just the coolest story, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has a crazy Prince story, apparently.
Even non-coms have to take a break once in a while, so that's what we're going to do. We are talking with Mark Mookie Kasor. We'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course. I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our guest, Mookie.
You're going to find that my musical knowledge is not that great going through the next couple of songs.
That's okay. We just want your fresh perspective on like what, you know, what someone who came of age probably. Okay. I'm going to guess based on the year you were born, probably your favorite year of music, 94, possibly 96.
Well, I don't like music from the 1990s.
You're not a 90s guy. Okay.
It's been shoved down your throat so much by like alternative formats and the radio these days. You know, it's like the Smashing Pumpkins. God love them. But, you know, I'm over it. And the Chili Peppers type of thing. You know, there was a Nirvana phase that I went through. Maybe in a little while in the podcast, I'll let you know about my... my radio upbringing and stuff. But when I was in high school, most people's formative years, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, high school, I guess. So you'd think it'd be 1990s for me, but I think I'm just sick of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I say sometimes I don't like it. I don't really mean I don't like it. I'm sick of it. I don't need to hear it for a while. Yeah. It doesn't mean I don't like it, you know?
It's right. Hear you. And I will tell you this, though, now that I think about it a little bit, Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Bone Thugs and Harmony, 90s R&B like SWV and Jeanne and stuff. And those TLC, you know, I mean, I was a big hip hop kid, too, back in the day. So I have an affinity for that music as well. And
Absolutely. That kind of hip hop. We have this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's good
old
stuff.
Cool rap.
Okay. So what was, so to speak, your gateway drug? What was your first album that you bought with your own money? We love to ask this question.
I remember shoplifting a Wu-Tang CD from Tower Records in Northridge. You probably know the one. It's not there anymore, obviously.
I do.
I think it was on Tampa or something.
That's where I bought the Joshua Tree.
I think it's a total wine now.
Right. Of course it is. Of course it is. And they caught me and called my mom. Thankfully, I wasn't arrested. But I remember, gosh.
Well, the Wu-Tang Forever. That's right.
Yeah, there was one. I think my first cassette single was like a Madonna single. And I don't exactly remember what song it was. But I remember my older cousin was babysitting and we went to the Northridge Mall. And we went to Sam Goody or whatever store it was. And I was like, I want this one. And on TV and pop culture, like Madonna was hot, you know, and she was happening and, you know, very popular. So I saw this Madonna cassette single and I wanted it, you know. So I think that was the first cassette that I really purchased. So random, man.
No, that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure with the Wu-Tang, it was probably tough to shoplift because they had those long boxes, right? Was that, was it a long box that we're trying to sneak out?
It must have been just post that, I think. it was just after that, right? But I remember those. It was just like too much paper,
right?
You know, much cardboard.
That's right.
But God, I can't believe I just admitted that to you. You know, I was just a young, stupid dude, and you know, was walking around Tower Records for a good 20 minutes. And they were watching me the whole time, you know, shoved it down in my belt buckle and walked out. And sure enough, two guys came out running and caught me. I'm like, oh, you guys are good. You know? Yeah. They're like, yes, we are. Catching keys from four C's, rolling in MPVs. Every week we make 40 G's. Yo, nigga, respect my, a nigga to check notch. Bam, move from the gate now. Cash moves everything around me. Bring it the money, dollar, dollar bill.
Okay, number 49, INXS, Melting in the Sun. I had mentioned you might have favorite Australian bands. I thought you might have a soft spot for Silverchair. Apparently, that's not the case at all.
No, Silverchair is great, actually. Oh, there's okay. A couple of songs that we're playing right on the air. That's one of those songs where if you haven't heard, most people haven't heard it in a while on the radio, you know, and they'll hear it and hopefully it'll take them back. It's a really cool thing to hear from listeners saying, man, I haven't heard that song in years type of thing, you know. Silverchair is pretty cool. Whatever happened to that guy? Wasn't he like a teenage phenom or something?
Yeah, when he started, it was like he was like 14, 15 years old and sounded just like Kurt Cobain. And, you know, just,
where is he? What?
I'm sure they're still kicking somewhere in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, must be. I mean, I don't know.
Daniel Johns, right? Wasn't that his name?
Not sure.
All right. All right. So, but
INXS, obviously yeah. Their catalog of music. I mean, whoa, like so much. There's so much, you know, yeah. And just think about what could have happened if, you know, Michael Hutchins had, you know, lived and they could have continued. But wow, what an amazing, amazing group. The contemporary Australian artist, Courtney Barnett, for sure is my number one. Amy Shark, I guess, is pretty big back home in Australia, playing, you know, gigs in front of thousands and thousands of people. And isn't Colin Hay from out there too?
Of Men course. At
Work? Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but Courtney B, as far as artists from Australia doing it right now, God, I just think she's amazing.
You've had her in the studio too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A big thrill for me.
Also, like she reminds me of Kurt Cobain or that, just the way she plays guitar. It was actually surprising when I saw her show. Like, wow, she rocks it, man.
Hell yeah.
Melting in the Sun. Did you give this song a listen? We haven't even talked about the song, Melting in the Sun. This was the song that was number 49.
I have no idea.
Holly, how do you rate this song, Holly?
I love this song. I love this album. This is probably my favorite INXS album, The Swing.
Really?
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, they had a lot, like, you know, Listen Like Thieves and Kick were,
yep.
They were next. Those were.
That was not, those produced all the hits, you know, lots and lots of hits. But no, I love this there's a bunch of my favorite songs and all-time favorite songs. I like the earlier 80s in excess.
You're kind of like Mookie of the 90s, where you're like, I've heard these songs from Kick. I don't need to hear them anymore. I love Shabu Shaba. That's the one for me. Okay.
Lots of, yes, okay. Exactly.
I can respect that. Let's go local, shall we, to number 48. This is X, the band X. And the song is Wild Thing, a cover song. Were you familiar with this, Mookie?
No, I'm familiar with the song Los Angeles and maybe a couple of others. I never played this particular song in my alternative radio days, but gosh, I'm getting such great ideas from going through this list with you two, by the way.
Good.
Well,
good.
That's why we do this. It's a fun exercise just to kind of relive some of these songs. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten about this as well. So, but what did you think of it upon hearing this cover of the Trogs, Wild Thing?
Incredible. I believe anything that John Doe touches turns to gold. So, you know, I feel like they could do no wrong type of thing, you know?
I agree.
Hometown Heroes, seminal punk rock band out of SoCal, you know, I encourage people to go me too. I should go and delve into the archives and do the deep dive into all things X.
Yeah.
They came out with a record like a year ago.
I was about to say, what do you think of Alphabet Land?
Alphabet Land. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the lead single, the title track was so good. I couldn't wait to play it on the air, and it had a good long run on our radio station, you know, and surprising as well. You know, X came out with a new record. The Pretenders came out with a new record recently, sounding just as good as ever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Did you like Alphabet Land?
Yeah. Alphabet Land. It was phenomenal. I was like you. It was like, I didn't know that I needed to hear this. Most bands, when a veteran band releases new music, you give it a cursory listen, like, oh, that's nice. And then, you know, forget about it instantly. I find myself going back to Alphabet Land. Like, I think it holds up really well with a lot of their catalog. And I, you know, I can't wait to see the band play these songs live, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That might have been my last show. You were talking about this week, earlier in the week, we were talking about the last shows we saw before everything shut down. I think I might have seen X right before.
That's right. You saw Squeeze and X was the opening band?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Major League?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you are familiar with the song Wild Thing and X's version of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That and Bull Durham, probably the top two baseball movies for me.
Yeah.
Dave, what's your favorite baseball movie?
Oh, Bull Durham, easily for me. Like, a lot of good lines. I still call my kids lollygaggers and, you know.
Nice.
Look at you guys, just lollygagging. Just get up. Crazy. Do you have a favorite, Holly? Where do you rank?
I do, League of Their Own.
Oh, good one.
That is a great one.
Actually, yeah. I just mentioned my daughter is now, she's playing in my fantasy league, and she named her team Team Hooch, based on Marla Hooch, who played second base for the Peaches.
Yeah,
that's her favorite baseball movie.
Great.
Number 46, Devo. This is the song Shout. Were you familiar with this song at all? I know you know Devo. Did you know this song at all?
Is it a cover of Tears for Fears?
It is not, but I'm glad you know Shout by Tears for Fears. Of course you do.
I don't know this particular Devo song.
Not many people do.
What number is this on K-Rock's 1984?
This made it all the way up to 46. Number 46.
So they must have played it a lot that year.
Yeah. we got the good fortune to talk to Freddie Snakeskin, who was the PD. And he was just talking like they played whatever they wanted to, or they dug through the music crates at their local Poobah Records or, you know, wherever they want, wherever the imports were. And, you know, if they heard it and they liked it, they threw it on. And if something worked, they played numerous cuts off the album. And,
wow.
Which is another reason we are a fan of 88.5 FM.org.
It's a throwback, I guess, you know, to the glory days of radio, because we don't, you know, we're not so strict, yeah. You know, but dude, there's a couple of Freddie Snakeskin YouTube videos of him behind the scenes, right? Back in the day.
Yeah.
You've seen them, right? Mm-hmm. Incredible.
They're great. And he's just having the time of his life.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's what it was all about, man.
Yeah, what is your secret sauce now? What are you? You're not digging through crates, or are you? What are you know? Like, how are you discovering things besides having someone call you up and say, "Hey, dude, you gotta listen to this."
Well, there's plenty of that, you know, and it's hard to find time for anything else. So you got the labels and these indies calling you every week, you know, like clockwork. Hey, have you heard this? You know, type of thing. So there's no shortage of new music, I would say, that's for sure. And now that, you know, we have the local spotlight feature on the midday show, and I think the word is getting out where local bands know that they have an opportunity to get on the air right in the middle of the day. So now I'm getting emails from random, you know, singer-songwriters and, you know, local musicians, no label, no management. Now they're hitting me up in my inbox. So I'm going through those. I'm going through all the major label stuff. As far as the old stuff, I know there's some songs like you're bringing up some amazing stuff today on K-Rock's old playlist. But like what Killing Joke 80s and stuff, like I you just reminded me of that one. Mm-hmm. And I got to go and get that one for my station, you know. So in that case, I'll get a throw down like $100 on an iTunes gift card and just go and download the old songs, you know, and have my guy go and throw it into our computer system.
That's you got a guy. That's good. We all need a guy. We've talked a lot about getting a guy, but we don't have a producer. A girl or some
we
sort of
guy.
We need a person. Devo is nominated for the Rock Hall. The voting still goes on till the end of the month. By the time, this is going to air forever. So we're going to put you on the spot. I gave you the list. If you want me to over.
Let me look it up here.
If you could choose five, I'm going to ask Holly, who are your five for the Rock Hall for this year out of all the nominees? Yes, Holly.
I had to go with six.
Oh, always.
All right. Go-Go's, Foo Fighters, Carole King, Tina Turner. And okay. So number five will be a toss up between Chaka Khan and Devo.
All right. A toss up. All right. I'm guessing because Mookie is old school 90s that he might go for LL or Jay-Z to enter into the Rock Hall.
I mean, my only reservation is like, is it rock and roll?
You know what? I have had this conversation with Jim Nelson, and he takes that rock part in the nomination process very seriously. And he's like, the gate's closed. If it's not rock, it does not belong. So, you know, he wouldn't. Dionne Warwick. It's embarrassment. Like, why would this person even be in there?
Listeners, as audience, if they're nominated, we're voting for them. We should vote for who we feel, you know, who we feel should be in the candidates we've been given.
Yeah,
right. And weighing them on the, you know, by their music and, you know, their contribution. It's already been decided that they're considered rock and roll if these are the nominees.
Sure. Whitney Houston's in there now. So, you know, well-deserving.
Is there a hip hop Hall of Fame, I wonder? And is Aerosmith in it?
See, there you go.
Good question.
Yeah. We could put Blondie's Rapture in there. Like that was the first number one hip hop song, allegedly, you know, if you want to call that hip hop.
I did a great talk break on the air the other day. It was coming out of an artist named Lava LaRue. And I said, you know, that's an up and coming rapper out of the UK, Lava LaRue. The song was called Magpie. Here's another rap song that we like from 1965, 88.5 FM. Boom. And it was Bob Dylan's Subterranean Homesick Blues. It sounds like a rap song.
Oh, yeah.
I got a kick out of that one.
But, love it.
I mean, New York Dolls. I love the gritty punk rock attitude. You know, who else we got? The Go-Go's. Whoa, Rage Against the Machine. I feel like you need the Foo Fighters to wait a few years, you know, too soon.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
It has been 25 years, Mookie. Okay.
Devo and Todd Rundgren. Todd Rundgren. I feel like, you know, people need to know more about him. Like, he played all the instruments. You know, he did everything. That's just incredible talent.
Even production-wise.
And the producer. And yeah. Yeah. You have to consider who you think is worthy in addition to who you love.
Right. There's no right or wrong answer, but it's just fun to discuss. I mean, and that's why we do this. And that's why they have this thing at all. Just because it opens up dialogues on with so many music fans. Like, who deserves to go in? And okay, what do we need to re-listen to?
List.
Yeah.
How many do you need from me?
Well, they're doing online. You can vote for 5. So if you were to vote for 5 of these nominees. Oh,
Kate Bush, New York Dolls, Rage Against the Machine, Devo, and I owe you one more, don't I?
Choose wisely.
Todd Rundgren, I guess. Yeah.
That's good.
That's who, I mean, Tina Turner's amazing though, you know, type of thing. I mean, Ike and Tina, pretty rock and roll.
Yeah.
So rock and roll.
Totally. Yeah. Oh God. That would be a tough one to leave out. I feel like Rage Against the Machine was kind of in the right place at the right time almost, you know.
By the way, you're at CSUN. Do you know where Rage Against the Machine made their debut?
Yeah, there's a video.
Yes.
Online that I saw.
It's insane. A
couple months ago.
Yes, Rage Against the Machine at the Quad. It's just insane. And people are like, they're actually stuck. Usually bands are playing and people aren't really kind of paying attention, or, you know, just a handful of people are stopping. There, as you watch this, a lot of people are like, whoa, what's this? This is kind of interesting. You know, watching this baby band just kind of like explode on their first gig. Word got out quick.
I think I'm going to have to call you out on this. You choose Rage Against the Machine, but say the Foo Fighters have to wait?
Yeah, I do. Mainly because I've been waiting on Dave Grohl to call me.
Oh, there it is.
I know that the Foo Fighters, like, studio rehearsal space is like a stone's throw from the radio station. And I've heard through the management that they know about us, that they listen to the station. I've been trying to get at them for a really long time to do some content or a benefit show for our public station. And I got nothing, you know. I think the Foo Fighters are certainly deserving. But I'll let them sweat a little bit.
That's right. Let them twist in the wind until they give you a call.
We'll let Dave know you'll vote for him next year if he'll do something with you guys this year.
Do something. Yeah.
Okay. Good enough for Tom Petty. It's good enough for Foo Fighters. I mean, come on.
Right.
Do a benefit. Yeah.
Tom's do a benefit. The crazy thing, like, I'll ask management all day and the record label, and you never even know if they even bring it up with the band.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's really frustrating. Obviously, the Foos probably get $1 million to play a gig. I can't offer that, you know.
Yeah.
I think that when you're asking the label guy or the management, you know, to do a show, like an underplay.
Yeah.
I think that it just kind of stops right there, you know. You know, they wouldn't even bring it up with Dave Grohl.
He's just a guy, though. You think, I mean.
It'll happen.
It will
happen. I think so.
You know, Dave, obviously, he's a philanthropist, and he's lurking around every corner of the internet all the time and popping up at random spots, you know, doing these amazing things. I feel like if we talked to him directly, he would be like, yeah, I'll play a gig for you guys. That'd be amazing. Oh, you know,
he did a benefit for Casa Vega. I have a Casa Vega shirt because he wanted to help out to his favorite Mexican restaurant.
Foo Fighters tacos.
Yeah, I bought a Foo Fighter taco. That's like a brisket taco. It's a food.
He played a gig for a Mexican restaurant?
No, he didn't play a gig. He just did. You could buy a Foo Fighters Casa Vega t-shirt and also buy a taco, what was called a Foo Fighter taco. And so I have a shirt with him, like him, Dave Grohl, and a taco, you know, and just says Casa Vega. And so it helped that restaurant. So
great idea.
You're right around the, it's going to happen.
We're going to send him this clip.
Yes. Come on. Unbelievable. Let's move on to other things. Oh yes,
wait
Holly.
Wait
a minute. This is Holly putting on the brakes. Wait a minute.
You skipped a song.
I skipped a song. What did we skip?
Unless I blacked out. You skipped the Thompson Twins, A Gap.
You know what? Son of a gun. I had crossed it off and then just moved on.
We don't have to talk that much about it.
That's true. Okay.
I don't have any input, but I happen to really like the song.
And also we have talked about the Thompson Twins so much. this was like so K-Rock because they played five songs off this album that are on the charts in 1984. Mm-hmm. So the album is called Into the Gap, and this is their song, The Gap. Do you remember the Thompson Twins at all? This is a band that played, they were so big, they played at Live Aid, and Madonna jumped on stage to sing with them at Live Aid.
Is the song that we're talking about now, what was it a hit?
The Gap was not a hit.
Wasn't no. The biggest hit. I mean, but it was much this bigger
is,
songs.
As I say, this is the third of five Thompson Twins songs.
I think I am much more familiar with the obvious one, I guess. Yeah. The hit, what, Hold Me Now.
Hold Me Now,
Yeah, so that's the extent of my... In a strange land, one of four TVs. I see for the first time just what you believe. I go down to the market, right to buy yourself, and I listen to the chanting.
Okay, we can move on from the Thompson Twins.
Okay, so we're going to Adam Ant. I'm not a big fan of. I listened to Apollo 9, and then I listened to again just to make sure, like, is this still crap? And then I thought, well, yeah, it's still. This has not aged well. I do not like this song at all. What about you? Who loves Adam?
That's funny. I'm not a. Yes, I am a huge fan. This song was not one of my favorites, even at the time. Say, not even Viva La Rock. Not one of my favorite albums. But, you know, I'll take anything with it. This I'll just look at as campy, you know, kind of kitschy. And I agree with you. It doesn't hold up great.
Yeah,
take anything by Adam Ant.
Yeah, he always did campy and kitschy. And sometimes it worked. Like his early album, like Strip, I thought that I kind of was on board with that. I kind of liked a lot of those songs. This one, for some reason, maybe he was just calling it in. I don't know.
Did he perform at Live Aid too?
Adam Ant actually did get to play Live Aid, but he only got to sing one song. And later, he called playing this show the biggest mistake in the world. So he doesn't have fond memories of playing Live Aid, and that's all we'll say about that. Yeah, Mookie, what do you think about Adam Ant?
I definitely need to know more. I fell into the song from, I think, 1982, Desperate But Not Serious. I don't know if that was huge at the time.
Los Angeles.
Like that one.
Yeah.
And we play that on the air from time to time in our 80s category, you know, and I think that song sounds great. I know that's just scratching the surface, though.
Yeah, back in the early 80s, he really owned all of L.A. He played like Amphitheater, Universal Amphitheater. He was kind of like one of those bands or artists where he would play, you'd be playing clubs in different parts of the country in the United States. But when he comes to L.A., just a fanatical following, just insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And still to this day, I mean, he's, you know,
that's fascinating.
He can come, he's coming to the Greeks. How many shows is he playing at the Greek that he was like a couple shows still?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not Depeche Mode huge, but still people love to see him. Okay, and our next artist, also the same way, like still phenomenal, like still has a loyal following. It was one after another with Billy Idol. This is a song, mm-hmm. Eyes Without a Face, number 44. I'm sure you remember this song, Mookie, do you?
Yeah, I do. I remember him coming out with, what an amazing career, you know? Remember seeing him at, I think, the Observatory in Santa Ana, of all places, like recently, you know, well, a few years back. And sometimes you forget how many hits the guy has. you know, like really great songs and, you know, hugely popular. I think he's amazing. Incredible music.
That's always a treat when you go see a band like, oh yeah, yeah, I know he had like a few hits, and then they go through their catalog and you're like, I know, wow, I know this one. I know this. And, you know, it's just one after the other. Like, this is amazing. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you have greater appreciation for the artist, you know?
He had a good long run. Sheryl Crow, for me, was sort of the same. When I saw Sheryl at the Troubadour, I was like, oh, I know this song. This song's amazing. This is Sheryl Crow. Oh, my God. You know?
And as someone
about Sheryl Crow, I forget.
And you saw, I mean, you saw Billy back in the day, but Eyes Without a Face, does that hold up for you? Is that like a top 10 Billy Idol song for you?
No. It never was. I like the ones that rock more. I saw him in 1984 at the Palladium, and I lost my voice for days, just, you know, screaming my lungs out. I love Billy Idol and Steve Stevens together. They're like the duo.
And did you like Billy Idol actually raps a little bit? I mentioned in the cheat notes that he's kind of doing a little rap in the mid song. Have you figured out the lyrics? You don't have the lyrics with you, but Holly, do you know what the hell's going on there? Where he's stealing a car, going to Vegas, taking a psychedelic trip.
That's why it makes sense. But no, it doesn't. I don't.
What is a gigolo pool, huh? I want to know what a gigolo pool is.
You could Google that.
All right. I will.
Not okay. Safe for work.
Probably not. Okay. So then we'll move on. Number 43, Bananarama, the song Wildlife, also from a movie, The Wildlife. I'm sure you don't remember this movie. Holly, did you go see this movie with Chris Penn?
I didn't remember the movie, but I was really glad you sent it to me.
Yeah. Right? Chris Penn, it's like a Fast Time. I remember, like, we were thinking back in the day, like, oh, this is just a Fast Times ripoff. And, you know, it was like Chris Penn,
yeah.
Sean Penn's brother, and Eric Stoltz, Rick Moranis, and written by Cameron Crowe, who also wrote Fast Times.
He wrote this?
He did.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Wow. That means very 80s, but also a poor man's Fast Time, I guess.
I think, yeah, probably Cameron Crowe had so much material for Fast Times. He's like, let's make another movie based on the same material.
Wildlife, the movie?
Yes. It's just, it's 80s nonsense. Do you like the song Wildlife, Holly? I know you love Bananarama.
Yes, I do. I like the song. I didn't remember it well, but I really, really like it. And, you know, I will tell you, they can do no wrong in my eyes. I just love them and I want to be them. So, yeah, I like it. I
always wanted to be the fourth member.
Yeah.
Chris Penn?
That is Chris Penn. That's Sean
Penn. Young Chris Penn.
Yes, who you probably know better from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
And Michael Penn has not made the list today, I imagine.
No, he will in, was 89? Was that No Myth? Was 89?
Could 89 be. Yeah, I think so. So Bananarama, do you have an opinion?
Yeah. What do you think of Bananarama? You know what? We should
no
bring
idea
your
what you're talking about.
We should let's bring your wife in and ask her what she thinks of Bananarama. By the way, can I stop stop you right there and say how much I love that laugh? That is an amazing. That's like a Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec laugh. Really? I love it.
Doesn't he have more of a manly laugh?
No, he doesn't. It's exactly what you did. That's my new favorite thing. I got to start making you laugh more.
Kind of like a cackle. What's Bananarama's like hit or hits or whatever? Like, what's the most recognizable song?
Cruel Summer from the movie Karate Kid.
They also did a Venus remake.
They were three girls. They didn't sing in, it wasn't in harmony. They all sang the same parts, but it was three women who just had a number of hits, and they were in Band-Aid. And
the videos on the cheat sheet, they had the best 80s look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all amazing. Bananarama had the look, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want to know what Holly looked like, just look at those three ladies and you can get an idea.
I'm sure of it. Yes.
That was what I tried. I did all the...
It was the big hair. The hair just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it was just insane.
Yeah. Pull it over, check the fingerless gloves and they were just cool. All three of them. They were just so cute and cool and talented and I just love them. Okay.
Hair kept getting bigger until finally, like, we've got enough. And that's when they're grunge and like, all right, we're cutting off all the fat now. Let's just bare bones.
No more hair.
That was the reaction to everything getting bigger. Like, okay, that's it. All right. So number 42, the song Big Country, or the band Big Country.
Band,
the song is Wonderland. You remember this song? I know you remember. I'm sure you remember Big Country.
That's the song that obviously I think everybody knows. And we play that song on the air from time to time. So now I am checking it out.
This could totally be current.
I know. Get that iTunes gift card to download some of these songs now.
This does sound like it could be current to me, like current rock. It's a really good song. I did not remember it. Yeah,
this is our music. This is like a music meeting going on right now. Just kind of, have you heard this song? Actually, we were with Carmel, who's on 88.5. She did an episode with us. We kind of alluded to, listen to it. Pretend you're in the music meeting. How would you rate this song? What would you give it?
I think this is great, and I'm so happy you guys turned me on to it.
We made a contribution. I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I discovered Big Country, I mentioned this as well, that I thought they were going to be as big as you too. Like, they were just on the rise. You know, they had these big anthemic songs, that guitar sound. It was just something that sounded like it was meant for the arenas. And that, you know, like, they were just going to get bigger and bigger, and it just never happened for them, unfortunately. But there's a number kinda of these
like
songs.
The Alarm, right?
Right.
They came up in the same circles as U2, from what I understand, and just never got to where U2 got.
I had looked, because I was curious, because I still like the song. I was wondering who still played it. And apparently your friends in San Diego love this song. They're still playing it 91X. They played it 8 times last week. 94.9 played it three times. Three times last week they played. 94.9 That's played it three times.
Very surprised.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you mentioned the Alarm. Are you playing them or any Mike Peters?
68 Guns, Rain in the Summertime, maybe another couple of songs or two. But there was a documentary made about Mike Peters, right? Not too long ago, and saw that. But after learning more about the band and learning more about Mike Peters, now I'm kind of an Alarm fan for sure.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I've mentioned this music meeting. I know Andy Chanley is your music director. How does that go about for someone who's never kind of figured out how songs get on the air? What are you guys talking about?
We are talking about just all the new stuff. So thankfully, Andy has music calls on a Wednesday. So all the labels and all the indies know to call Andy between certain hours on a Wednesday. So they call up the music director and he'll listen to the songs first, compile a list, And then on Fridays, we Zoom together. Normally on Fridays, we Zoom together and we go through the list and we do some listening. We talk about what artists we want to book for interviews and all of that stuff, you know. I already have an idea without talking to Andy even today of what new songs that I might want to add to the to our playlist. But generally, it's a collaborative effort. But the, at the end of the day, I'm in the position where I could give it the yay or nay. And it's a fun position to be in.
How often do you disagree?
I think that we both have a similar vision as far as what we want for the station now, you know, and like who we're targeting now. So that I think he's catering more towards my taste as far as music. So he might not bring a song to the table if he thinks I'm just going to poo-poo it right off of the bat. You know, he doesn't argue with me or anything. He presents the music and we talk about it and listen. And then come Monday when we make the ads, you know, he's like, oh, cool. You know, he doesn't care. Andy's the type of guy who just sounds great. He's just a great compliment to whatever music you could play on the air. You know, we could flip the format to top 40 tomorrow and Andy would sound great. Yeah. You know,
I agree. Yeah, he's super talented. I love him. What is your target, by the way? I mean, I'm looking at a playlist, you know, you look at your core artists and it's all classic rock. But then you look at like a typical hour and there's a lot of music I had never heard before. Like I spend a lot of time Shazamming or looking up, going on 88.5 FM to figure out what is this band? There's always something new and exciting on the station. So
yeah, we recently looked up our median age and believe it or not, it went up a tick compared to the last programming regime's their last year of programming. And we're scratching our heads because again, we're a much more modern leaning AAA format. So early on, we decided to, well, that's another story, but our target is basically a 40-year-old now. You know, so, and we do know that the older demo, they have open ears and don't necessarily want to hear the same old stuff. So that's why the older demo is basically stuck with us. It's harder to get the younger demo in. And that's happened time and time again with stations across the board. But early on, we decided to play more 80s alternative and 80s new wave, I guess, as our goals. We're not abandoning the Tom Petty's and the Bob Dylan's of the world, you know, right. and stuff. But it's not our identity anymore. And now you got a little bit of Otis Redding and Ray Charles and Curtis Mayfield and Aretha in there and a lot of new.
A lot more soulful.
Yeah. I couldn't wait to get my hands on the station just to play some of that stuff, you know, because we never have in the past. I like where we're at. I think we're fun and upbeat and pretty decent. And this is going without any market research or music testing or anything because we ain't got no budget for that at the moment. But one thing that I had going on for me when they gave me the reins was everyone wanted to do something different and skew a little younger. So I think we're doing a pretty decent job of that right now in all aspects of what we're doing. We're seeing us move the needle except for Nielsen ratings. But again, being a non-com, we don't have to live and die by the Nielsen ratings.
Happy about that. I think sounds good.
Thank you very much.
It is fun.
Appreciate that so much.
Yeah, it's a fun adventure. Anytime I tune in to 88.5. Yeah.
Thank you.
What was it? The last one I heard, Art Deco. Who's this person, by the way?
You know, I know very little about him as well, but God, what a really artsy sort of individual, right?
Yeah.
You could tell just he lives and eats and breathes what he does. And the song is just like such a winner. So it's like when you take a chance on a lesser known artist, the song better be good. And apparently it is because you heard it for the first time and you know you're taking notice and asking questions. But yeah, Art Deco, I think this song is called Head Rush.
Good stuff.
Yeah, brand new stuff.
Doing great stuff. All right, let's go back one last time to the 80s. And this is Killing Joke, 80s.
Brilliant.
And there you go. One word, brilliant.
I think it's brilliant. And you're right, similar to that Nirvana song.
Yes, if you listen to it side by side, which I'm going to put them side by side. You will hear, I think originally there was some lawsuit that I believe Killing Joke had themselves attached to a lawsuit to say, hey, we should get songwriting credit for this, but that never happened. You can't not hear it now.
The story goes that Dave Grohl and Jazz Coleman became friends, and he actually played with them in 2003. Dave Grohl played with them in 2003.
Okay. Well, you know,
Dave Grohl, he's doing everything with everybody.
I know. Once he comes into the studio, you could pin him down and get those questions.
You're absolutely right. You have to go to him directly.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that because I don't have a direct line to him, but I'm always poking around.
It'll happen. I know it will.
I was just going to say Killing Joke, the song 80s. I forgot it existed until I saw it on this list. And there was another one of those, like, you know, light bulb things like, wow, haven't heard that one in a long time. How great is that song?
Yeah. I can't wait to hear it on the station. I think we've taken enough of your time. Go ahead. Plug again. Barely. Tell us what excites you about the station right now?
I just think we're doing such great things, and you know, it's a grassroots effort. It's, you know, there's no marketing dollars or anything. We're not outsourcing DJs. We're not into corporate consolidation. We are live and local, and you know, community radio, we feel like, is where it's at. So we're here to serve the community of LA and Orange County, the music community as a whole, and again, try to bring FM back to the glory days. And that's 'cause part of the mission, and we feel like we're on the right track. But people need to tell their friends and download the app and listen at your desk chair while you're working, because a lot of people don't even have an AM FM tuner in the household anymore or at their office. But again, 88.5fm.org.
thank you so much for doing this.
Yes. My pleasure.
I do truly enjoy 88.5 FM and what they're playing
live and local.
We're doing some wonderful things with the What Difference Does It Make podcast. What are we doing, Holly?
We are. We're doing some stuff on Facebook at WDDIM Podcast and on Instagram and Twitter at WDDIM Podcast. And also remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we are doing some really fun things on YouTube, some behind the scenes stuff. So check us out.
Reviews are also good. Apple, if you can give us 5 stars. Yes, we need to start reading some of these reviews. We've gotten a couple of reviews have come in. I invite you to write a review, and we will definitely put it on the podcast.
So thank you for subscribing.
Yes. Okay, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.